official sponsor of the College Football Playoff.
Getting ready to set sail for a Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Coming up, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us. We'll talk high school football playoffs and more with JJ. And then the Pick Six comes your way live from here in the studio and from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub down in Iowa City, as it will be the KGYM road trip presented by Linder Tire, driven by Linder Tire Service. And head to Linder Tire to prepare your car for winter. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials. Todd and Alex will be down there. High school football playoffs tonight. It's a chilly, chilly one. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more, including Iowa basketball, when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Remember all those Friday nights throughout the year? Yeah, we had a couple of rainy ones, but for the most part, we had 9 weeks of brilliant weather. I turned to John Haggerty, I think it was early in October. I said, John, you've been doing this long enough. You know what's going to happen. We don't know when, we don't know where, we don't know how. But I told him, and he agreed, we're going to pay for all this. The Piper has appeared. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you here in the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Gym Class coming your way for a Friday here on KGYM. It is miserable outside.
Yeah, it's not very nice, but I was thinking, coming to the studio, if this was February, I'd probably be in shorts and flip-flops. It's all relative. We're not used to this.
No, you would not be in shorts and flip-flops. This is cold. Flurries. Northwest Iowa actually has a little bit of sticking snow going on. Snowing in Ames earlier today as they get ready for a big one tomorrow. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Iowa State taking on TCU. Hawks in Minnesota. Coming up, it's not like, going to be like there's going to be snow on the field tomorrow in Iowa City or in Ames. They've had them. Ames has the field covered, etc. Iowa has the field turf. They can just scoop it off if needed. Probably won't need it tomorrow. But the weather is still going to play a factor tonight in all the games, and it's going to play a factor in tomorrow's games around the Midwest, because we're all in this together. And if you have, there is a freeze warning in effect. And if you do have any tender plants outside, etc., you better get them in tonight and especially tomorrow night, because if they're outside, it's not going to be good for them.
Unhook the water hoses too. Ooh. I forgot one last year. That wasn't good.
That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing.
I was exchanging tweets with Jeff Johnson, our next guest, earlier today, and he was advised he's going to Waverly, as are you and John, to do Cedar Rapids Prairie and Cedar Falls. He's advised to dress warmly. And I tweeted back to him, I recall covering a Class 1A game years ago, and 1A schools don't have big press boxes.
No.
They can't accommodate media, no offense. But it was windy, spitting snow. I had to walk the sidelines covering the game and try to record play-by-play and keep stats in that kind of weather. What's the worst weather you've ever covered a game in?
Worst,
of course, you're in a press box most of the time.
Yes, but, and I'm trying to find the year right now, and I think it was around, 2000, maybe, somewhere in there. We were up at beautiful Dalzell Field in Dubuque.
Mm-hmm.
Old Dalzell Field, not since they refurbished it, and it looks beautiful. This was Dalzell in its glory days, without when they took the they just had the boards covering the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And you took those off, and by golly, you were among the elements. And I'm trying to find what year that was. maybe it's even back more than I thought.
Have you ever
was.
Had to go to a site where there's so many media covering it that you had to sit outside the press box?
Yes, yeah. Once.
Once?
That was once. That was down in, we were covering LaSalle.
Mm.
Second to last year, I believe, of LaSalle's existence, and we went down to Prairie City to do LaSalle and Prairie City. Well, it was like a 1920s outhouse. It was a one holer, and we were not in there, and so we were outside.
Well, you and I covered the same LaSalle game out of Kingston Stadium. This is not cold weather, but severe lightning storm.
Yeah,
that they either postponed it or
they canceled it.
They canceled it. Yeah,
they canceled that game.
I couldn't remember for sure, but
canceled that game.
That wasn't very nice.
No, the one that was the worst though, and I'm trying to find it, but I'm striking out here. I was with the late John Lowry. We were doing the game up at Dalzell Field in Dubuque. Kennedy and Wallert, and it was the year that they moved. It had the big snowstorms in late October, and they moved most of the games indoors. They were moving state of Iowa games into the Dakota Dome in Vermilion.
Yes, yes.
In Northwest
yes.
Iowa. You remember what year that was?
I don't.
They all kind of go together. But at any rate, we were up there for a Kennedy-Wallert game. And, of course, they took those boards off the windows, and that wind was howling right at us off the Mississippi. And it was... I did not get feeling back in my fingers and toes until the trip back in Monticello with the heat on, like, full blast, 8 on the fan, and I didn't, like I said, I did not feel anything until Monticello on the way back.
319-366-1600, that's our phone and our Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers text line.
Yeah, we're babies. What of it?
No. 95-41. Tell Haggerty he can leave the fan at home tonight.
Yeah, no fan necessary. No fan necessary.
85-32. One of my officiating crewmates remembers a playoff game he worked where it was so cold and windy they had to lasso one side of the goalposts and pull the rope to straighten it for kicks.
Okay, you win. That's good. That's good. I'm trying to find that.
I covered a playoff game one time in Lisbon. It wasn't snowy weather or anything like that, but the fog rolled in so heavy, and I wasn't that far from the field, but I think there was a game-winning kick or something like that.
Yep.
Couldn't see go through the goalpost.
I don't think
anybody could.
It's got to help to see it. I'm going to find that. Maybe, that's not it. I'm going to find that. Then there was one, I believe, in 2011, but I'm going to double check that as well. That was the last bad night we had as far as the playoffs are concerned. Was that night in, or 2010. 2010, I believe it was. Because I think my oldest son was a junior that year. Yes, 2010. We did Kennedy and Xavier on the first night. On a night just about like this, except it was sleeting on top of all of this.
First night of the season?
No, first playoff night.
First playoff night.
First
okay.
playoff night. And Kennedy upset Xavier that night, 11-7. If you have a passing offense tonight, it's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sledding.
Sledding? Okay.
I hope it doesn't get sledding. 1991, thank you, Darren. Thank you. Darren Spenson helping me out with that. 1991.
Yeah, 0478 in the text line, also texting that as well. I played in that game. We had a kid catch his sock on fire by the heater. by the heater. Excuse me.
That's not funny.
My eyes are tearing here. I had a sock catch on fire by the heater because the leg was so numb from the cold.
That I hope he was okay. I hope he was all right.
Hey, this wasn't in the show prep. This is catching. This is growing legs here, Scott.
Yes, it is. How cold were you at an Iowa high school football game? It's not going to be a bed of roses tomorrow in Ames or Iowa City, or Co, or wherever the case may be. coming up tomorrow. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Jeff Johnson. We'll find out how cold he has been. And we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. We'll have the Carl Nerney's pick six as well. That'll be coming up. Isn't news came out last night, Iowa basketball, while we wait on the text. And the calls are rolling in. 319-366-1600. Iowa basketball announced last night Christian Williams has left the team. He will transfer. Now, he will stick around as a student for this particular semester, and then he will be off. You kind of knew in the back of your mind, Mark, that somebody was going to probably depart the program, more than likely. I didn't think it would be Christian Williams, though, because he was going to get some playing time as a backup point guard. Got playing time last year, about 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes in certain situations per game behind Jordan Bohannon. And just a little bit surprising, I found that last night.
Yeah, I'm surprised at the timing more than anything else, because Christian Williams had gone through the primetime league, had gone through the European trip one day before the exhibition opener, and then this was announced. And, of course, in the news releases, it was the obligatory, Christian's a great kid, we wish him the best of luck in his future endeavors, blah, blah, blah. But in Williams' statement, he said he wanted to finish out his career closer to home. He's from Decatur, Illinois.
Not too far away.
It's not right across the river, but not very far. So, and you never know what goes through a kid's mind. You know, time's ticking on his college career. He sees Matt Bohannon in front of him. And maybe he did just decide in the last couple of days, you know what, it's time to part ways.
Might be a situation where Fran McCaffrey, I told you this a little bit earlier on, kind of went through starting lineup, kind of went through the minute rotation, and maybe that was the last draw for somebody like a Christian Williams, and decided at that point that he was going to leave the program. For whatever reason, he is now gone, and now what's Iowa going to do as far as a backup point guard position? Brady Ellingson played a little bit of point guard. Isaiah Moss probably can play some point guard as well. They don't want Connor McCaffrey to burn that red shirt. And with Connor, if they had their druthers, I think they'd like to have him sit out. The plan was for him to not play basketball, to play baseball, and then decide exactly which way he was going to go the years after that. Maybe they have to rethink that now. I don't know.
Well, you and I were talking earlier that Bohannon is kind of an Iron Man out there. He can play 30, 32 minutes, and maybe Moss can slide over. Maybe Ellingson can slide in. Even a Nick Bear can handle a couple minutes in certain situations. But we're going to see very soon whether McCaffrey's going to be used. And I don't have the right answer for that, but there are folks out there, including our friend David in Hudson, who believes this is going to actually hurt Iowa's depth in the backcourt.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to a little bit, to a certain extent, because you don't have a true point guard now. You don't have that true point guard out there. Jordan Bohannon is that guy. Can he play 35 minutes? Sure, but that's taking into account he's not going to get into any foul trouble, not going to have any problems, not going to be an off night, just anything like that. So you're taking a lot of things into consideration right there. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. 319-366-1600, if you'd like to comment on that. And any more people really cold at Iowa High School football playoffs?
Brandon in Cedar Rapids on the text side. My freshman year of high school, we played Midland in the playoffs, and I got moved to the varsity. Sleeting snow, and it was so cold. I talked about the game in Lisbon, the fog game, 4-0-0-7. I was the running back for Lisbon in that fog game against North Mahaska. I was right by the upright on the special teams, and the field goal by North Mahaska did not go through the goalposts. And I remember that now, talking to Gary Stamp, the Lisbon coach.
Right.
And there was some dispute about that.
Katie Joe from Wartburg letting Jeff Johnson and I know, I would recommend your winter coat and gloves, mittens. Well, I can't write with gloves or mittens on. I do have my winter coat with me. So I'm going to risk it tonight. John and I are going to be inside, though. I feel bad for Jeff Moss. our sideline guy out there. That's who I feel sorry for. We're going to talk to Jeff Johnson coming up here in just a moment or two. 319-366-1600. We'll talk high school football playoffs. We do have a poll question for you at kgymradio.com, and it's brought to you by Emil Sideaway, First Avenue Southeast, behind the Taco John's and right next to the Home Depot. And it deals with tomorrow's game in Ames. Who wins tomorrow in Ames? Vote for Iowa State or vote for TCU? That is our poll question from Emil's Hideaway at this time. Should be a great game. We'll have it at 12:30 tomorrow and 1600 a.m. for you.
Yeah, it should be indeed. And we'll pick that game on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, the back half of the show. And I think we're picking it. It's, what, 6.5? TCU favored by 6.5 there.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Jeff Johnson on the other side for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and we will talk high school football playoffs round one, night one, when we come back.
These are the $25 MediaCom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. MediaCom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free one-year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call MediaCom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new MediaCom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
The Gym Class in the Gym. KGYM. Eastern Iowa Sports Talk Radio.
Had some callers there during the break. We had one of the guys that played running back for Lisbon that year in the Fog, who claims the field goal was no good. It's not a Disney movie. Robin Williams, you can't do it all over again, unfortunately.
I honestly could not see the ball being kicked. And Gary Stamp, the Lisbon coach, obviously was right on the sideline. He admitted he didn't get a great look at it either. But the claims were on the Lisbon side that North Mahaska's field goal, which won the game, really didn't go through the uprights.
Here you go. And then we also had a caller, Steve, said that the 72, the very first year they had high school football playoffs, the finals, they only took four teams back then. You had a true Final Four. And Mark, as you know, and oh, by the way, happy birthday to you today.
Well, thank you.
The Jefferson Jayhawks won the 72 state championship. That game apparently was to be played in Des Moines, correct?
Yeah, there was a snowstorm, as I recall. It was supposed to be played in Des Moines, but it got moved to Kinnick Stadium. And that was where Jefferson won 6-0 over West Des Moines Dowling.
There you go. And that was 1972. We start the playoffs here tonight. Up in Waverly with us tonight will be Jeff Johnson of the Gazette. You can read his stuff both online at thegazette.com. You can also follow Jeff on Twitter. JEJE66 is his handle. Did you find all the winter gloves and all the stuff you're going to need for tonight?
I got my toque all ready to go.
Hey,
yeah,
that a boy, hey.
Yeah, exactly. I got my toque, I got my winter coat, and I got my gloves. So, yeah, let's do this, right?
It's not going to be that bad, is it? Inside, it's not going to be that bad. For us.
I will tell you that I just went and got my car serviced, and it snowed there for about 5 minutes, so...
Nice.
We were talking before we brought you on, Jeff, and this is really an impromptu thing between Scott and me about the worst weather conditions you ever covered a game in, and consequently, the text line has blown up. I've got more texts to get to about folks' recollections of bad weather games. Do you have one?
Boy, not really off the top of my head. There's been some mutters. Those always, you know, kind of stick in your mind. And I just remember, I think I was down in Minneapolis to watch Regina play. And remember being outside and because there wasn't enough room in the press box and it started raining hard. So I kind of finagled my way up to the press box for the rest of the game. I just, that comes to mind. I just remember a couple of really, really cold games. But yeah, no fog or anything like that really sticks out. I guess my mind must be fading in my older age.
No, nothing like that.
But you're hardened.
And speaking of that, happy birthday, Duker.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Well, let's start with the game we're going to be watching tonight, and we'll have for you at 1600 AM at 6:45 tonight. We are outdoors because of USA Wrestling taking over the Unidome. So I just want to throw that out there. We would be in the climate-controlled indoors tonight. But Prairie Cedar Falls, both 8-1. Cedar Falls' lone loss was an overtime game to number one Iowa City West at the Dome earlier on this year. And, of course, Prairie also their lone loss to Iowa City West. This should be a pretty good ball game.
Yeah, I think so. You kind of wonder how the conditions will affect things. It's probably not going to affect Prairie because Prairie's going to do what Prairie's going to do, and that's, you know, run the ball out of a single wing and get it to Keegan Simmons. And I think it'll be a tough task because I, if you look at it, Cedar Falls has been very, very stingy defensively against the run this season. So, you know, if Coach Mark Bliss has a couple of tricks up his sleeve, which I know very much he probably does, you know, they might need to pull him out tonight to move the football against what I think is a pretty good Cedar Falls defense.
Before we get to more games, Jeff, news earlier this week about the classifications for next year being reduced in 4A and all the other classes. What are your thoughts there?
I don't know if it really makes much difference, honestly, to me anyway. It's going to move, you know, it moves like Assumption goes down to 2A, which is one that kind of stood out to me. And, you know, North Scott would all of a sudden be a 3A school, Lewis Central. But I don't, you know, I don't, they say the big reason was for a little bit more of a competitive evening out, if you will. But I don't know if that's really going to help much. My question now would be, what are you going to do with the playoffs?
Exactly.
With 16 teams in each class, are you going to go? You going to go 24? Rumors out there that you know the coaches want to go back to 32, so that'd be 32 out of 40 teams in 4A that make it. So you know that's really the big question for me is how the playoff format or you know how many schools are going to get in and. I guess we'll find that out probably sometime in January.
Sounds like more non-district games. 32 is too many. I'm with you. 24. I think it's. I would like 24 myself and give the district champions that first week off of the playoffs. The other question is, what do you do with the season? Is it going to move up 1 week into August? Then you do cross into baseball for the teams that go deep into the baseball playoffs and that go to the state tournament in Des Moines. State. Baseball is already set, I think, for the next 3 or 4 years for those dates at Principal Park, so that's not moving. Is it going to go back to the days of you and me in high school, Jeff, and that if you don't make the playoffs, that week 9, you just find an opponent and play?
Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't too long ago, Scott, was it?
No.
I don't know. There's
you know, like I said, there's so many questions here to be answered. And even though the switch, you know, with the fewer number of teams in each class, you know, there's got to be something that goes along with that. And, you know, we'll find out. I really don't know. It's so hard to tell what the association is ever going to do. And, you know, I really don't have a feel. If you had to push me to make a bet, I'd say 24 teams in the playoffs and maybe move the season up a week.
I would like to have the non-district games mean something, too, if we're going to have more of them. If half the season is going to be non-district, you got to make them worth something. I don't know how you're going to do it, but that's just my thought. And the only thing you can bank on is Dowling and Valley will be on separate sides.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about lowering the number of teams in 4A, but, you know, how much is that really going to help? Because to me, you know, football, you look at the schools that are there year in and year out and everything, it's more about, I think, a population advantage now and a socioeconomic advantage. And that's why you see, like, your Des Moines suburban teams always be so good. And you know, I think fewer and fewer you're going to see, you know, your public schools, your city public schools in 4A, you know, make the playoffs, which is another reason, I guess, I'd like to see go back to 24.
Somewhat related comment on the text line. Is it true that only two Cedar Rapids schools have won big school state titles in, what, nearly 50 years? That's a head-scratcher. There's Jefferson won in 72.
Xavier, but they're a private school,
I think,
obviously.
Jefferson's the only one because Linmar was...
Well, Linmar.
Linmar.
If they're counting Metro.
Prairie Marion have won state titles. Regis have won a state title. LaSalle. But in terms of the public schools, only Jefferson.
Yes. No Kennedy and no Washington. What's Washington? Kennedy's lost once,
yep,
right, in a final, and Washington's lost
twice.
That is pretty hard to believe, right?
Right. Speaking of Washington, a game against Iowa City West tonight. We'll have it here on 106.3 FM. Wash a tough team to figure out.
And 107.5.
And 107.5, I'm sorry. Iowa City West, really nice season and probably the favorite here, but Wash could be dangerous, no?
That team is, like you said, it's been really hard to figure that team. You know what, two losses by point or 3 points, whatever it was, two blowout losses. They've blown out some teams. You know, I'm still trying to figure out how they gave up 18 points and in the last minute 13 last week.
Yeah.
To lose to Waterloo West. So, you know, really, who knows? They do have an outstanding running back in Haven Hanningson and the two bookend tackles there that are D1 players. So, you know, if they can get a running game going, maybe shorten the game. You know, the conditions aren't really great for West to throw the ball a whole lot, you wouldn't think, tonight. But, you know, that to me, that's Washington's hope is to try and ground and pound and shorten the game and give yourself a chance there maybe in the fourth quarter.
Jeff Johnson joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, 3:32, Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Looking at 3A, this is solid all the way across the state of Iowa, and especially in the eastern half of the state. You got number one Xavier at home tonight. They take on Oskaloosa. Assumption on the other side of that bracket at home tonight at Brady Street to take on Washington. Decorah and Solon, and then Waverly, West Delaware might be the best matchup of all of them.
Yeah, and then I look too, Scott, over at the West bracket. I mean, you got four really, really good football games with Glenwood, Sergeant Bluff, Luton. Heelan plays Harlan, two traditional powers. Carlisle, Dallas Center, Grimes, Webster City, Pella. I mean, those are four potentially great games. To me, 3A is really a very loaded class this season, and the other class that I thought was really very good would be 1A. And probably Class A as well. So those are the classes that, you know, the field just sticks out. You can make cases for multiple teams. And, you know, I don't know if you read the story today, but how about Solon's defense this year? It's amazing that it has created six touchdowns on its own and only given up three all season. That's just crazy. So, you know, if Xavier and Solon somehow make it to play each other, what is the first team, the only team that scores is going to win that game? Xavier's got a really good defense too, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But, yeah, don't discount the other teams that are playing, though, because they got a lot of good opponents before then.
Yeah, like you said, Waverly's that Waverly-West Delaware game is one, too, that just pops out at me as being a really interesting game. And, you know, we'll see who's better tonight.
Mount Vernon, the heavy favorite tonight against Centerville. How much do you like Mount Vernon?
Yeah, I mean, they have, you know, this kind of the spread offense, and they like to throw it around. And Drew Adams, obviously, has proven himself a great career. State's all-time leader in touchdown passes. You know that they played well after losing to Solon right away. Really put up a ton of points. I think they'll win pretty handily tonight against Centerville. You know, certainly one of those teams that in the East bracket there has to be you know, pretty favored to at least get the semifinals. I saw Cascade last week. I thought Cascade was a terrific team as well. Just do what it takes to win. A lot of good athletes. 9-0 in football, and that's from a baseball and basketball school. Also showing some pretty good ability there in football. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Mount Vernon, really looking forward to, if it happens, that Mount Vernon Cascade potential semifinal.
Yeah, and West Liberty's got a pretty good team too. So
yeah, that'll be a very interesting game. West Liberty is that's certainly no pushover. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. West Liberty's 6-3, but you know, two of those three losses were to really good football teams.
Now you mentioned 1A looking tough. Regina went 7-2, but lost their first two games non-district. West Branch is on the other side of things, along with Pella Christian. Then in the other half of the state, you got two really, really dominating teams in West Lyon and Van Meter so far. So you could have some dynamite quarter and semifinals in 1A, like you said.
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure out how the state figures that Denver is in the western part of the state. Because Denver's over there in that west bracket. Meanwhile, Pleasantville, which I believe is quite a bit west of Denver.
Yes.
They're over in the east bracket, so
don't try to do this, Jeff. Don't try to do this.
No. I'm just pointing it out. I know I'm not real strong in geography, but you know that one was pretty interesting to me. How to put those two schools where they did? I guess
it's perplexing, but it's okay. It's fine.
It is.
That's just the way it had to go. with all the pushpins in the maps this year.
Yes, the association by and large does a great job. So let's throw that out there.
Yes, Class A. Talking about that right now, Wapsie Gladbrook Rhinebeck's going to be a whale of a game tonight. East Buchanan at St. Ansgar's, I think, going to be a very, very good one. I feel bad for Al Burnett. I still feel bad for Al Burnett in that whole situation. I don't know what could have been done, but I think it could have been handled a whole lot better. But, you know, we'll see how this all plays out. And Hudson and Pekin, I think, get the Rand McNally Award tonight for the longest trip between the two. I don't know. Waterloo to nearly Missouri.
Exactly. They should have met halfway. You know, what's halfway?
Maybe Kingston.
Rapids, huh?
Kingston.
Yeah, Kingston was open tonight. So, absolutely. Absolutely, but yeah, you know that Gladbrook Wapsie Valley game is one that really sticks out of you. I think East Buchanan St. Ansgar could be a really good football game too. So, and then you look at the other side of the state. West Sioux just dominated everybody. Council Bluffs St. Albert, I picked to win the thing. Somehow lost to Southwest Valley by a point, but you know, I think that's a really good football team. And you know, you mentioned Southwest Valley being 9-0 and now going to Garrigan being 9-0 on that other side. So, yeah, Class A is really, really loaded, in my opinion.
In the eight-man game, also known sometimes as the continuous clock division.
Sometimes.
Don Bosco and everyone else.
Certainly on this side of the state.
Yeah.
I don't know... anybody, I mean, just compare the scores, right? I mean, waxed Tripola last week. Tripola's only loss. Riceville, and you know, those two teams play tonight. Trapola beat Riceville in the regular season. Everybody else, Moravia, I guess, is 9-1, but maybe hasn't played as tough a schedule. Everybody else has at least two losses. You know, I don't know. Nobody's really stepped up on this side of the state to challenge Don Bosco yet in the A-player game. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that Western Iowa still has a pretty sizable advantage in the A-player game when it comes to the quality of the football teams. Mm.
But Eastern Iowa's got Don Bosco.
That's right.
And they've been very, very, very tough to beat over the last few years. So, all right, my man. Get everything gathered together, and we'll see you up there at good old Wartburg tonight.
I'm going to race you up there. A cold beverage after the game, of course, to the first person who gets up there. How's that sound?
We got Jeff Moss going with us tonight, who's a Wartburg grad, and he's already mentioned something about Joe's Nighthawk.
I am familiar with that.
As am I.
Yeah, so that might be a possibility, yeah.
We'll see.
All right.
Hey, see you up there. Thanks. And, hey, great job with the paper today. It looks the wraparound did a terrific job.
Hey, thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it. And enjoy the football tonight.
We will. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
3:39 here in the gym class, KGYM. We will take a quick break, come back, and we'll get the panel together. The Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming up, and we'll do it after this.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. This football season, add sizzle to the game. La Cantina would be happy to cater your tailgate. Or reserve La Cantina's party room and watch the action on their big screen while you crunch, sip, and cheer. La Cantina makes every football game a winner. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at kgymradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
In baseball, a smooth